Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bobby Marcheso, and thanks for joining us here this evening on Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Coming up, for over 20 years, Jerry Gavin's been working as a communication and empowerment specialist, and his guardian angel named Margaret. He is going to be coming on the show and talking about her and the different messages that it is that she has to offer, and then we'll find out how we can communicate with angels and such ourselves. Again, that's all coming up here on the show. But before we get started, my lovely co-hosts, Maureen, Brenda, and Steve, which one do I start with first? How about Maureen? Hi, Maureen.
You cracked me up.
Oh, Steve, that was Steve. I'm just bet that was a manly like that. I know.
Steve,
I
can. Steve's going to crack us up tonight. I can tell he's in one of those moods.
Is he? How can you tell? Because it always seems to me like he is always in one of those moods. I don't know how you can tell the difference.
Because I'm a psychic, and that's.
That's yes, right.
I'm an accomplished psychic. And are you going to ask me about what I do?
No, you're leading into it quite lovely yourself.
Well,
you're done, Maureen. Now it's my time. Stop taking the limelight. Always.
Right, moving on. Steve, hey.
I'm just joking. Maureen, what do you do?
I do it all well, and I know it all. And I work at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of you. Clowns. No, the rest of you wonderful co-hosts here. And I'm an intuitive, psychic, empath, tarot, well-versed reader. and I have a compassionate heart, and I read from there.
You don't have a cold stone heart? You do have a
No heavy heart right now either.
See, Steve, I told you, pal. I knew she had a compassionate heart.
Not compassionate enough to let me go first.
See, this is going to be a fun time.
Here we go.
There you have it. That's what I do.
Very nice. Thank you. And you're on Psychic Access as well. Will you be on this evening after the show?
Absolutely. Probably an hour after the show ends.
Brilliant. All right, thank you so much. Moving on now to Brenda. Hi, Brenda, Lady Brenda.
You can have Steve go in front of me.
That's fine.
I like to make an entrance anyhow.
Oh, do you? What, like, do we have music for that?
No. Okay, well, I work with all you lovely people at PsychicAccess.com, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. And I use the tarot and the crystal ball.
How do you, when you see something that's going to happen, if you're predicting a date or a month, you know, people always, I know I get that a lot. Like, so when? You know, the question is,
they
will
wanna know. They want to know. Inquiring minds.
Or do you see a month, or how does it come up for you? Like a calendar, or do you see numbers?
Kind of like a calendar flipping. That's the way I kind of describe it. Or, you know, I see numbers, I see months, I sometimes see scenery, like as far as like, you know, what the season is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's very cool. And then, did it just happen that way, or is that how you chose to have the communication come through?
You know, it just started happening that way, and I developed it. I'm constantly developing it because, you know, I'm fascinated by being able to pinpoint things like that.
So. Yeah, it comes through. I know I was seeing numbers in my head first, and then I began to like hear the number, like they would just say the number 24 or, you know, whatever it was coming through. So yeah, I think it does expand or just come.
It does.
Like
yeah.
Sometimes, doesn't it? All right. Thanks, everyone. Now let's get started with the show. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Steve, are you there? Now watch, he's not going to answer. I knew it. He's like, no. You forget, Steve, I can do your accent.
Sorry, Bobby, I knew you were talking, but I was going to make a cup of tea.
So fascinating. You were completely enthralled. You had to just go away and make some tea. And
no, I'm only joking. I wouldn't step away and make tea when you're giving parole.
So tell us, young Master Steve, tell us about your abilities and what you do for us here at Psychic Access.
Absolutely. I've been with Psychic Access for 2 years. I'm a psychic medium like you, and I'm really interested in studying all forms of metaphysics. So most of the last 12 months, I've really studied astrology, and I'm going to really get my teeth into I Ching and numerology in the next 6 months or so. I like learning.
Yeah, no, I love learning, and I love having that passion of where to go next. This is something you're just kind of feeling this is the area you should go into next?
I just like to learn, Bobby. I just really enjoy studying, and I just get a lot of enjoyment and energy from studying, and I just really am passionate about all forms of metaphysics, and I like to see how all of the different systems are interconnected. It's just a lot of fun.
It is, very much so. All right, thank you, Steve. All right, and thank you all of my co-hosts. So tonight on the show, Jerry Gavin, like we'd said earlier, he's been working as a communication empowerment specialist, and he's helped many, many, many individuals to help reach their full potential, teaching them how to listen to their body, their mind, their spirit. And he does this through a combination of modern-day alternative therapeutic techniques. He couples that with ancient shamanic practices as well. Now, Margaret is an angel who identified herself as Jerry's guardian. Initially, it came through letter writing, started sharing with him some personal guidance, and then eventually even led to share her divine angelic messages with hundreds of people throughout the world over the past 20 years. And apparently, the urgency of all the rapid changes in the world with the human fears and the uncertainty over the 2012 prophecies led Margaret to ask Jerry to compile a book of timely messages that would be delivered to the world to help everyone just understand some of life's most complex questions. And a lot of those we're going to be covering tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Jerry Gavin. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Bobby. How are you? Thank you for having me on tonight.
Yeah, no, thank you, sir, really, because you really helped me out huge and last minute putting this all together. I think we made it work, and I really appreciate your flexibility and allowing you to come on. And I'm assuming you brought Margaret with her. She was also available, I'm assuming.
She was also available, actually, yes.
At a moment's notice, those angels, I'm telling you. That's awesome. You know, I kind of want to start off with, I usually like my own types of questions and the spontaneity of the interview, but I did look over, you know, oftentimes when guests come on, they have interview questions that they suggest. Here's what I've been asked most, or here's what I prefer to cover. And you know, a lot of it is actually what I would ask you. So it kind of works out perfectly. And I guess I kind of want to start off with the first one of tell us about Margaret. Who is she, and when did your communication begin with her? And did your angel communication start with her, or did it start with other angels first?
It actually did start with her, and the communication began in speaking with her kind of at a very low point in my own personal life where I was really looking for some substantial guidance. But if you wouldn't mind, Bobby, if I could just backtrack just a couple of years before that happened, kind of gives a lot more clarity to the whole experience. I kind of came into this whole thing as an incredible skeptic. Before 1990, I had grown up traditional Catholic household, so I knew about angels. I kind of thought it was, you know, there wasn't actually a way to communicate with them. I just thought that they were there. They were part of some process. I had no idea about it. And the concept of communicating with spirits or paranormal activity, any of those things, were so alien to me, I just didn't have a great belief in it. So I was pretty skeptical. And then along comes 1990, and a good friend of mine who now is my girlfriend bought a house and asked if I would, you know, like to share space with her to try to help with the household bills. So I decided to do it. It was a beautiful house, you know, center hall, colonial, bright, shiny, wonderful place. We just didn't know up until about 3 months after the fact, but it was also incredibly haunted. And that was my introduction to the world of the paranormal, was actually getting to live in a situation where it was something like out of the movies. You know, there were rooms in the upstairs of this house that would vary in temperature by like 20 to 30 degrees, breathing that you could hear next to you in the middle of the night, banging on in the walls, voices that we started to be able to hear, a mist that would actually descend the stairs from, you know, upstairs to downstairs. So we started to figure out what we could do to, you know, to deal with the situation, because clearly she had just bought the house, so it wasn't like an apartment. If it was an apartment, I think we would have just said, okay, we're out of here.
Right. But you being a skeptic, how did you know this was haunted, or you couldn't just, there was just no way for you to explain it away, and so you started believing that
exactly.
It was other than?
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly, Bobby. I think when you're faced with something, and you know, that you can't easily understand, you can't easily figure out what it is, you have to start to, you know, eventually open up your mind to the fact that something else is going on here, you know?
Right.
The spirits who are in this house particularly love to play with Gail's jewelry, and we would try to, you know, first in the beginning, she would be missing jewelry, and I would say, okay, Gail, you know, maybe you're just putting it in the wrong place, maybe you're just forgetting. This one particular time I can remember so well, she took the jewelry, she put it in a jewelry box that locked, in a cabinet that locked. I watched her do it. We went out to lunch, and when it came time to get lunch, she said to me that day, I'll get it today, and went into her purse, and there was the jewelry, you know? So, you know, things like that happen, and you have to start to say to yourself, okay, something odd is going on here.
right.
We went to our local parish. We went to a priest and explained the situation. And, you know, at first he said to us, well, you know, are you regular churchgoers? Maybe it's because you're not coming regularly. And, you know, we tried that for a little while, and things still weren't going, so we convinced him to come to the house. And it was actually kind of funny, because he came into the downstairs of the house, the downstairs foyer, and sprinkled holy water around downstairs and said, okay, that'll be fine. And, it, you know, it kind of spread, so everything will be okay. And it clearly that didn't do the trick. So we were trying to figure out what to do, and I was very dubious of psychics at that point, you know, not having experienced it before or having spoken to any. And it was an odd circumstance, because there was one really good friend of mine for years that I trusted to talk to about this situation, because, you know, you call somebody to say, hey, I think my house is haunted. Most people are going to be like, yeah, come on. You're making this up or something.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So I called this buddy of mine, and the interesting thing is he had been in therapy for a major parts of his life, you know. And he says to me, you know, I really want you to call this woman. And I said, honest, I really don't think I'm crazy. And he goes, no, I don't mean for that reason. But he said, I've been seeing a therapist who is a really gifted psychologist, but she's also gifted, period. She's psychic. And I have been going through therapy like gangbusters, because every time I try to hide behind something, she's like, well, what about so-and-so? What does this name mean? Who's this person? And I thought that was kind of cool, because, you know, I didn't know very much about psychics, but, you know, the fact that she was a clinical psychologist also, and, you know, that kind of appealed to my more traditional background. So I called her.
There's still something kind of down to earth about that you could grasp,
right? Right. Exactly. So I thought maybe something I could relate to with this whole thing. And I called her, and before I even got a chance to tell her anything that was happening, she said, what's going on in your house? And asked me to grab the pad and paper and said, I'm getting this information, and this channeled information about a ritual that you should do there. So, you know, I'm kind of getting hit with all of the new psychic stuff. Now there's channeling being introduced, and I'm writing down all the information, and she tells me how this ritual should be performed and the number of people needed and what we needed to have in the rooms and all this stuff. And for whatever reason, I don't know about it, but it just felt right. It felt, she seemed very sincere. The fact that she knew it was happening before I even had a chance to tell her anything was pretty impressive to me. And then, yeah. You know, we did what she said. We did three different rituals at three different times. And each time it happened, the house, it seemed to get more and more angry each time. I mean, jeez. Doors were opening and closing on their own. Windows were opening and closing. Drawers of furniture were opening and closing. The fire alarms in the house would go off. It was really a scary experience. I mean, now my girlfriend and I look back on it, and we can kind of talk about it, you know, with funny ha-has about it. But then it was not a funny ha-ha moment. It was very, very scary.
No, I never laughed once during The Exorcist, I have to tell you.
No.
There's no funny ha-ha moments during that.
So comes the last time that we're doing the ritual. We did it, and the house actually felt much lighter. Gail felt terrific. My daughter, who had helped us to do this, felt wonderful. I felt like crap. I just felt like I had been beat up and hung out to dry. And the funny part was, right before we did it, Gail actually had asked me to put some AA batteries in my pocket. For some reason, she had no idea why. Just to do this. I don't know why, but I think you should. And I reached in to take the batteries out of my pocket, and they were like half melted inside the pocket. And I had that same effect on car batteries over the course of the next week. Just, you know, any car that I went into and drove for any prolonged period of time, the battery just died. I kept getting batteries replaced, and, you know, the people at STS were getting a little tired of this process. So I called back the woman who had given us the ceremony and asked her what could possibly be happening. And she asked me if I'd been standing at the northeast corner of the room, and I told her yes, I'd gotten a compass just like she asked me. I was there all the time. And then proceeded to explain to me that that was because all the energy that was leaving actually left through me. And she, you know, that was very important, that somebody who was strong enough to stand up to the energy was going to be at that point. And, you know, I asked her, well, why did you tell me that at the beginning? And she very honestly said, because if I had, you may not have done it, or you might have been too frightened to do it, and that would have added to the fear in the situation. Plus, sure, you're going to need to know this energy for the future work that you're going to be doing. And I laughed at that hysterically, because I was like, there is no way, no how, I'm ever doing this again. I'm done, thank you. Somebody get the check, I'm finished. And for about 2 years, that was true. You know, I had kind of retired my exorcism thing, and the house felt good. We made the decision, both Gail and I made the decision, me just looking for an extra, like, secondary income and her change of career, we made the decision to go to massage school. And it turns out that the woman who taught the school that we decided to go to, beside being a gifted massage therapist and, you know, trained at the Swedish Institute and all that good stuff, also turned out that she was a folk healer who had been trained by Native American and Latin American shamans. And periodically, she would decide to share different things with the class. And wouldn't you know it, I was always the one, whenever she would share one of these things, that would have these really deep, moving, shamanic experiences. Right. And that happened time and time again. And you know, Bobby, my girlfriend will joke about me that I'm the kind of person that don't need to be hit by a 2x4 more than 8 times before I finally get it. And that was the point where I started to just, you know, say, okay, if I'm getting this stuff, let me learn more. I heard one of your co-hosts just beforehand saying, you know, when you start to figure you want to learn, then you want to learn everything. So I started to study shamanic things with her, and then with her teachers, and then other teachers, and started to do power retrieval and you know, power animal retrieval for people, and then finally learned about soul retrieval and shamanic body work and all of those kind of things. It was curious, though, that I had never talked to an angel. You know, power guide, spirit guides were coming forward, all kinds of other things. And this one night, in just a very difficult period of my life, I sat down in bed and kind of called out to an angel that I sort of thought was out there, but I didn't know who it would be, and said, you know, if I knew your name, I know there'd be a way I could be able to communicate with you. If you just could tell me your name, I'll figure out how to do it. And closed my eyes. And honestly, I wasn't looking at that point in time for as direct an answer as came through, but it was as though I saw a big white movie screen in front of my eyes, and the name Margaret spelled itself out in just big, bold, black letters. I opened my eyes, and I said, nah, that can't be the name. Come on, Margaret? What kind of an angel name is Margaret, you know?
I know, right? So, I always thought it would be something flary, you know, Malalaha of the desert or something. And sometimes they just come through, and they're like, hi, exactly. My name's Bob. And you're like, Bob, what the hell is that? You know? Right?
Exactly. I was waiting for, like, Ezekiel or something like that.
Right.
So I closed my eyes to try again, and again now it's a black screen in white letters, it's Margaret. And then it just starts to spell itself out in every font you can think, you know. But I guess that was my 30th time with a 2x4, and I said, okay, it's Margaret, I get it, you know.
and I
started with the thing that felt right to do, although I had never done it prior to that point, was automatic writing. And, you know, and here I'm doing it, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Jared, this is the stupidest thing you've ever done. You're writing a letter to an angel, you're asking for help with problems you have, and you're going to write the letter back. So, of course, I'm going to hear everything I want to hear, you know? But
right.
It wasn't. I started writing the letter back, and the letter started, first of all, with the phrase, hello, dear one, and welcome, which was not the way I normally start off a letter. So that caught my attention right off the bat. And then it just proceeded to flow with the most kind, loving, non-judgmental information that somehow was letting me know that I was responsible for 90% of the predicament of my life at that point in time by the decisions that I'd made, the flow of the things that I've done. But yet saying it in such a kind, judgmental way that I wasn't at all defensive about it. It was actually touching my heart.
Right.
And, you know, and it proceeded to tell me ways that I had affected other people's lives by the things that I had done. So, you know, the part of me that's always the social scientist, the biological part of me, decided to call some of those people and ask them, hey, by the way, you know, have you ever felt like if I do this, have you ever felt this way? Because I've just been thinking about it a lot, you know, and got validation from those people about, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And, you know, they thought I was incredibly, you know, adept and intuitive. I was just shocked, you know, at that point. And that's what started the whole process, by the way. That's what started me writing to her to get guidance about my life and to try to figure out, you know, how to better understand, how to be more just intuitive about that. And then you start to ask some of the bigger questions that you're curious about. And then it just kind of grew from there.
Crazy. I mean, that was like the first step on the Yellow Brick Road. It feels, you know,
yeah.
It just opened up a huge amount of this journey. And how long ago was that?
This was 1990 was the original kind of haunted house experience. And then the first communication with Margaret, I guess, happened in, you know, I think it was right around 92, 93. I'm not totally sure exactly when it happened.
We're going to need an exact date for that, Jerry. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, so, I should have that. But you want a funny, funny story, actually, in terms of how it kind of grew to other readings for other people. as things started to happen, slowly but surely, but I didn't feel like, you know, someone would put me away somewhere when I would tell them about it, I would start to share with people what had been happening with my group. And a friend of mine said, you know, I really wasn't sure what to do, because she was asking me to do these letters for other people and to start to spread the message, and I really didn't know how to do that. So a friend said to me, you know, there's a woman who I've gone to for readings at other times, and she's a really good psychic, and maybe, you know, you should call her and ask her for some direction, you know? And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. Like, who better to ask than someone who's doing readings for people? So I called her up and began to tell her, you know, my story, the Reader's Digest version, and how Margaret had asked me to do readings for people. And she proceeds to say to me, oh, I'm so glad you called. I have so many things that have been going on in my own life, and I really need some guidance. So if you could come here, I would love it if you could do a letter for me, if you could talk to Margaret. And I'm like, no, wait, you're the psychic. I called you. I need you to help me. I'm not the psychic. I don't know how I do this. And I proceeded to go see her and do a letter for her. And I was a nervous wreck, because Margaret was doing kind of the same thing as she did with me, and pointing out to this woman how there were things she was doing in her life that were, you know, and some of the background things and what was causing her life to be that way. And I'm thinking, oh, man, she's going to be so mad. And she obviously, she wasn't. She loved the information. Proceeds to call two other friends of hers, who were psychics, and said, you know, would you do readings for them? And I'm a nervous wreck. I'm like, no, I'm not a psychic. I'm just trying to figure out how to do this, you know? And they wound up the next day coming for readings and loved their readings. They got tons of information. And now I start getting referrals from them for people, you know, to come to see me. And it was so funny, Bobby, because I'm still reeling by this thing and still trying to figure out what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, people are starting to call asking for readings. And that process just started to roll and go bigger and bigger and bigger. And as people would respond to it by getting wonderful responses and feeling like their lives were getting changed by these messages, slowly but surely I started to get a little more confident with the process, you know?
Sure.
But it was kind of funny how it started.
It's like that, isn't it? And just so shaky. And I remember doing kind of the same thing, going to a psychic to find out about my abilities or if there were some. And I remember one specific one that I saw in Vegas, and she started asking me questions, and I still had to pay her the $35, you know, for the thing. And we ended up, the whole thing was a reading for her afterwards. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I just, you know, was coming or going, or I have no idea what the hell just happened here, but I think I just got used a little bit, you know, it's kind of funny.
You
know, but anyway,
so I think back, I'm not sure if I had to pay either. I don't remember.
I'm sure it wasn't exactly like that, but yeah. So do you find that communication with angels now? I'm sure it can take place at any point, but you know, there's a lot of people that want to be able to know how to do it for themselves, and we'll get into that. I definitely want to get into that a bit later, but was the communication taking place during certain times of the day, or did you really have to call out to her, or did you just find she was just like readily there?
In the beginning, I really had to call out to her, because I didn't realize that there were other options of things. I didn't realize that sometimes that quiet voice that I would hear, you know, was guidance from another place, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there were just really easy ways to kind of just close my eyes for a second and say, hey, you know. I think, and I don't know if you've found this the same or if other guests that you've had on the show, sometimes I think the biggest challenge in doing this for me has really been learning to kind of shut off my own mind, you know, learning to just let things flow without judging it or censoring it or thinking, no, that can't be right. Maybe I'm getting that wrong, you know.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest challenges. And sometimes I think even to this day, that's the reason why when I do a full reading for somebody, I'll still ask them, you know, can you give me questions? And I'll put those questions in the form of a letter and start a letter back, because I think that process of writing gives me a way for my conscious mind to get out of the way a little bit and just to let things happen, you know.
Yeah, it's a different type of focus when you actually write and put pen to paper, not just typing on the computer anymore, but putting pen to paper. There's a certain type of focus that takes place. I totally agree with you. And getting out of the way, again, yeah, I agree. And I was gonna ask you that because that's what I've learned. But I was gonna say, when you had to really call out in the beginning, was it because of Margaret or was it because of you that you really had to call out? You know, and it sounds like you kind of already answered that.
Yeah, it was definitely me. I've learned that she is available in some of the most unusual circumstances. Throughout the time I wrote the book, I was employed, still am actually at this point, employed full-time as a publisher for a newspaper group in New York City, and I have a commute from where I live in New Jersey, which is about like 2.5 hours each way, and I literally wrote the book on the bus. So that ability to kind of just let her flow now and just all the other distractions go, and, you know, you can just focus on, you know, really like a laser focus on whatever it is that she's telling me, regardless of everything else that's happening. But back then, it was really kind of hard for me to learn, you know, how to focus and how to separate what was my thoughts and what was the information that I was getting.
Isn't that something? Because that's what, giving workshops, I mean, you're touching on a lot of commonalities here, and I can't really speak for our co-hosts. We do have three other co-hosts that are on the show that we'll let you say hi to here in a little bit. But it's that'll really trip you up when you start hearing it through your head, and sometimes it's your voice. Other times I can hear the distinction of different voices, but that'll really trip you up, doesn't it? Is this my own thought, or is this thoughts that are coming through, you know, and very difficult to discern in the beginning. Tell me how the book Messages from Margaret, how did that start to come to be? And like when you describe it, what types of things are in there? And from what I understand, Margaret, there was something really pressing with Margaret that she wanted to kind of compose this book through you, yeah?
Right. The thing that she said is that the world is being affected by right now by this pervasive fear, this energy of pervasive fear that was really occupying the world, and some of it had to do with 2012, which is why she wanted to, you know, debunk some of the myths about 2012, but the other aspect was just fear in general. And what's caused that fear is that we have, in general, as people, whatever country we live in, we've given away so much of our power and so much of our wisdom to the people that we now have set up as the experts, whether they are our government leaders or our church leaders or things of that nature. And the world in general has grown very, very wary of the direction that we've been taken in. And what winds up happening is that fear affects everything, you know, and you only need to look at the stock market. I mean, really, the stock market is just ideas about money. You know, it's people who every day go out and kind of, you know, play like Vegas and much in the same manner as if they were doing it in a psychic level. They try to predict the futures of corn or the futures of soy or the futures of oil. And in doing that, people invest money in that or invest money in just concepts that the experts are saying are out there. So, you know, let's say you're John Doe and you just got a raise and you're so excited about that raise and you go out and you finally are going to trade in that clunker of a car that you've had for a long time and you're on your way to the car dealership to buy it, and you turn on the radio and it's saying, you know what, the consumer spending is down because people just don't have a good attitude about the economy, and so the experts are saying that everybody should kind of hold on to their money and keep it in the bank, and you turn your car around and you go home because of the thoughts and the fears that, you know, we are being subjected to every day. And she wanted to have this book be a way to help people release from those fears.
Okay, so let me stop you right there just real quick because we have to go to a minute commercial break. I want you to pick right back up there. That's a great place to come back from. And then, again, I do want to cover a little bit of how it's possible for other people to contact their angels and such and different ways that we can do that. So hang on just one second, Jerry. Everybody, you're listening to Psychic Access, Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We're going to be back in just a few moments with our guest, Jerry Gavin. Stay with us.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com?
Great. And welcome back, everyone. It's Psychic Viewpoint. I'm Bobby Marcheso, and we're sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We are speaking with our special guest tonight, Jerry Gavin, who has been working as a communication and empowerment specialist for many, 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 many years now. And he has his guardian angel named Margaret. We were just talking about how this book, Messages from Margaret, came about, Jerry. And you said that Margaret... did I understand you right? Start really recognizing the fears that we're having or reacting to the world situation, causing these fears in us, reacting to all of that, and this is something maybe she's trying to help us correct?
Right. That's exactly what she's trying to do. What she says in the very beginning of the book is that everyone who is here on this planet right now, our thoughts are creating a reality. And that's not necessarily a new thought in a lot of different ways. What makes it a new thought when she talks about it in the book is that she describes the essence of our soul. And prior to writing the book, I guess to me, I always thought of the soul as being this energy that enters the body and, you know, exists in the body and gives us our life force and allows us to do whatever we're going to do and then exits our body, you know, at the point that we die and then goes to heaven or to some other location until, if you're a believer in reincarnation, comes back and enters another form. She talks about our souls as something that is so much grander and so much more immense than we would ever comprehend. She talks about our souls as being 1 degree of creation removed from angels, but actually in angelic viewpoint, much more powerful and much more instrumental in the ongoing creation of everything that exists, because we were created with the ability to create experiences from a combination of the darkness and the light. So while there are angels that were created who create everything that is light and everything that is dark, there we come along and we now at our soul level have the ability to decide to be part of every other piece of creation and to experience every other piece of creation and to create stories, to create, you know, our ability to say, all right, in this lifetime we would like to experience this with so many challenges and with so many gifts and so many graces, and, you know, and that's how we're going to come here. And we don't realize this. We don't realize that at our core we have this amazing, amazing soul, because she describes it, if you want to use a computer analogy, and she does that several times in the book, that if you were to think of the Creator as being this incredible master computer, then the angels would be like the master servers. We, as our souls, would be the major programmers who are putting everything together, who are working from these huge desktops, if you will. And then us, our human existence, the animals around us, the plants, the trees, the sky, everything else that exists are like applications that are constantly feeding back information back and forth to our soul. And it was such a, like, blew my mind concept in that regard, because it gave me the sense of us being so much more than we ever would have imagined. So she comes to tell us that so that we know that in this capacity, in this, you know, this earth incarnation or story that we're in, we have that ability to, by our very thoughts, create the reality of what's going on. And she points out that everything that now exists started as a thought. Everything that exists on this planet started as a thought in someone's mind who invented it. And everything that exists even before that time started out as the universal thought. It's the first thought that put everything forward. And we're the decision makers. We are the people who are programming the ongoing force of creation as it goes forward. So with that in mind, she proceeds to then try to explain why we're that and why we shouldn't be fearful, and why now, rather than being a time of gloom and doom, is maybe the most powerful period that mankind has ever gone into, because of our ability to interact with each other through social media. She points out the fact that the Arab Spring and the Tunisian Revolt and other major changes in the world took place by people who simply were on Twitter accounts. Regular people like you and me, who send messages and created total changes in their governments, that now we no longer have to be people who fear each other because our government said that we should, because we have access to things like YouTube, where we can actually see people in other parts of the world and share each other's experiences and know that other people in the rest of the world are people just like we are, you know? Right. So that is part of what she tries to get across in the message, and these very down-to-earth ways of saying, you know, you're at a point in time where she refers to it as the perfect storm. We have technology, understanding, and the capacity to communicate with each other on every part of the world in real time that will allow us to actually begin to become one people instead of these splintered people all over the planet. But that has to start with figuring out how to allow ourselves to start to think in more positive, productive ways so that we can start to have happier lives and let those fears go.
And so before we can do that, though, I think part of that, like you talk about, is, or what Margaret, I guess, speaks about too, is raising your vibration and getting to those places where you have access to those types of thoughts. So what are leading into now to the maybe practical, I don't know if you want to call it exercises or tools or things that people can do to access that vibration, raise their vibration so they can communicate with their angels? Because obviously you believe everybody has this possibility to commute with angels just in the same way that you do, yeah?
Totally. You know, it's actually funny. When several months into doing this, you know, into writing letters to Margaret, one day I wrote her this letter and I said, you know, I've been wanting to ask you, what is it about me? Why are you talking to me? What is it that's special about me that makes me be able to do this? Because I don't know how to explain this to people. So why do I have this ability to do it? And she said, with that sense of humor that I've gotten very used to at this time, there's absolutely nothing special about you. The fact is, if people can see that you can do this, they'll realize that anybody can do it. And it's funny, because I laughed at it then, and I still kind of laugh at it now, because the truth is, I think if people see people just like them, you know, who are not higher ups in some church organization, or someone who is somehow a quote-unquote expert in something, being able to do this, they learn that, you know, yeah, we can all do this. And I teach a workshop called Angels and Shamans that utilizes, you know, different shamanic techniques and drumming and music and different other kind of things to help people to just open up their energy and kind of clear some of the blockages so they can communicate with angels. And the last part of it is this guided journey where they meet their angels and get their angels' names and get some sense of what they've come here to do. And you can certainly do something like that as a means to communicate with your angel, but it's even simpler than that. The thing that she talks about that helped me to open up the communication with her started very simply with the fact that I asked. You know, I legitimately said, I would speak to you, or I would find a way to talk to you if I just knew your name. And just starting that communication, even if you don't know your angel's name, just recognizing the fact that there is an angel there, in most cases there are a great number of angels that help us with any number of different things, but just reaching out to them and saying, you know, I know you're out there. You know, if you could give me some type of a sign, I would love to know you're there. Or even without a sign, can I just tell you what's going on in my life and could you please help me with it? And you'll start to find that there are these oddly synchronistic experiences that start to happen. Maybe you might wind up hearing the same name come up over and over and over, or you go to the radio and the same song with the same name comes up a few different times. People find very unusual ways that angels will try to communicate that, so you get that. And the only reason why a name is even important is just because there's a vibration with names. There are a lot of people who have told me now, as time has gone on, that talking to an angel named Margaret was really comfortable for them, and they might have been put off if it had been one of those grand angel names that made them feel as though there was somebody maybe to be afraid of or cautious of. But there was something about Margaret that it's kind of like, you know, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus kind of thing. There's something about Margaret that was a soft, gentle name. And she says she has been known by many other names to many other people, but this was a name that was right for the time. So we can.
That's
we can
interesting. Talk to she's talked to other people, but other people have known her by different names. I like that. I like the vibration of that when you said that.
Yeah, I did as well, because that really felt very true to me, you know, and that it's, you know, angels have come throughout all of time. Angels have come to every different religion in the world. There's a chapter in the book called One Creator, Many Religions, Always Angels, and she talks about how every major religion in the world has started out with the appearance of angels. And in every case, the reason why they came was not to start religions. It was because all of these different people came from different cultures and different beliefs, and they had different ways that they looked at the Creator, and they didn't feel worthy. For some reason or another, they didn't feel connected. So angels came to all of these cultures to explain to them that the Creator was part of them, and that they were part of them, and that, you know, they were these sacred beings, that we were these sacred beings that were connected to the Creator. And in every instance where they did that, somehow a religion, a structured religion, then became a part of what they were trying to say. And in most cases, that structured religion then began to say, you know, we're the right religion, we're the one people should believe in, and that religion doesn't understand, or thinking that because there was a different speaker, it wasn't speaking of the same thing. So she speaks in the book about that, because she wants the world to know that regardless of what religious affiliation you're in, we're all one people, we're all one group under the Creator, and that In fact, if you're part of a religious affiliation that's saying that you're closer to the Creator than another, then you really need to second think that, because anything the Creator does is always expansive. There is nothing that's done to retract. There's nothing that's done to make something else feel less than. There's always desire to be more than.
No exclusivity in right. any of that. I totally agree. I had somebody kind of ask a bit of a question earlier. They had sent it in through an email, which I like the way that it was phrased in a way, and I can see where this person was coming from. But it said, is it true, and I don't know where they heard this from, but is it true that angels won't help unless asked to specifically? This person says they only call on in dire need or a circumstance, and they've always come through. But I personally have not experienced that. But you, how about for you? Is your experience been different? Do they wait until we ask? I mean, sometimes I guess I've seen that when some people directly confront me with that, you know, during a session, and they'll say, what are my angels waiting for? How come they're not answering me? And I see the angels behind them just like looking at their watch going, we're just waiting for them to say, hello, help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're just, you have to acknowledge and work with us. That's what we want. That's all we're waiting for. But again, what is your experience with that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because that I would say yes and no to the question. Yes, in the sense that angels in many ways are powerless to help us without us asking them. No to the part about it being dire need. I think that's just the point. We wait to ask until it's dire need, you know? My brother-in-law has a great statement that he says that there are no atheists in a foxhole. And
I was just going to say that when you said we always wait for dire need, I was going to say many priests have been created in a foxhole.
It's an interesting statement only because of the fact that that's where the dire need is. But what Margaret's explained about it is that where angels come in is they are there and they're available to help in anything. It doesn't need to be dire need. It could be the most simple things that we're looking for assistance with. It could be when we're in a conflict with someone else personality-wise, and we just could say to them, could you please give me the wisdom as to what to do to end this conflict? Or give me the wisdom to know how to deal with this situation with my child. But where the difference is that we come to this experience with free will. If they were just to do whatever needed to be done, then that steps all over the free will. Then it's useless for us to come here to have that experience, which the whole purpose of that experience is to try to find a way for the energy of love to trump whatever we're doing, you know, to find a way for us to rise above those challenges that we've, you know, placed in front of us, so that original energy of love is what supersedes whatever is going on. So yeah, that would make perfect sense that you would see them like looking at their watches going, oh, come on.
Want us to pull you out of the room, you gotta ask. But I think there's at least I've just learned it, and it's only what I know for now until I learn something different. But sometimes I think there's a method to praying. In other words, some people pray, please just take this away. And I always explained to them that, no, you, it's through this contrast that you're developing and growing and harnessing and expanding. You don't ask to take it away, but walk with me, like you had said earlier, something to show me the best way or give me the best possible strength to face all of this. Because I always say, I don't think angels just come down and take you out. I think they come down, hold your hand and go, okay, hang on, because, you know, this is going to be rough, but we're right here with you.
Right. And you know, when I wrote that very first letter to Margaret, I think part of what I was looking for was I was hoping for an answer to learn how to take something away and how to not have the struggle. What she was able to help point out to me, and it was so much more powerful, was what I was doing that created that situation. Because if that situation just goes away, you're just going to keep recreating it in a different way. You know, the important part is to learn how our thoughts are forming our reality, and being able to be conscious of you were asking before about what we can do. One of the things she talks about is to to kind of pay attention to what we're thinking, to notice, are we being grateful for the things in our lives, or are we really looking for just all the things that we don't have? Are we looking, are we trying to remember the good things about our life, or focusing on just the bad things? Are we part of that group in the office that is just constantly complaining about everything? Or are we the voice inside the office that says, oh, come on, it's not that bad, you know?
Right.
Let's think about this or let's think about that. So, you know, part of that is the essence of what we're creating. And it's interesting because, you know how we were talking earlier about sometimes you need to know how to separate what your thoughts are from what your thinking is, a perception of the message coming from your angel or your spirit guide. When I was writing the book, one of the sections of the book, you know, where she talks about things that we can do, mentions a system called affirmations. Not affirmations, but affirmations. And it's a system that was devised by a gentleman named Noah St. John. And when she started to talk about it as one of the techniques, I stopped in the process of writing the book and just wrote a separate note to her that says, hey, Margaret, I'm really confused, and I'm hoping that I'm not putting things in the book that are my own thoughts, because I became aware of affirmations about, you know, 5 months ago, and I've been using them, you know, and they're working really well, but I think now I'm influencing what's in the book. Could you just clarify for me? And she wrote back to me and said, did you ever consider that perhaps we brought you to that information that is working so well for you?
And I thought, oh,
yeah,
maybe. That's funny. Jerry, listen, we have come to our end of the show already. Thank you so much.
Really wonderful
to talk with. It's very easy to talk with you, and I really appreciate that. And again, for stopping by tonight, I really appreciate it. Tell everybody where we can find you. I know it's jerrygavin.com, but your book is on there, and people can order the book from your site. Yeah,
right. You can order the book from the site. You can get in touch with me for readings or anything else through the site. You just said one quick thing, if I could just close, and you said about being easy. The thing about affirmations is, instead of asking yourself questions like, why is it so hard for me to do this, just start to ask yourself a different question, like, why is it so easy for me to do this? And watch the miracles that start to happen in your life.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jerry. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Gavin, jerrygavin.com, and it's with a G, G-E-R-R-Y, and Gavin, G-A-V-I-N. .com, and please go to his website, check him out. And I believe when I was looking through there, you also have CDs and things like that, a nice toolbox, if you will, to kind of help accomplish the goals of communication with angels as well.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I had a blast being on with you too.
All right, I really appreciate it, Jerry. And again, thank you so much. I hope to talk with you again, and have yourself a great night.
Thank you.
Okay, say hi to Margaret for me, if you don't mind.
I will. I absolutely will.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Take care.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bobby.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very, very fun. So there it is. It's some of the that we've heard before. How easy is it to communicate with our angels? It's always, if you're not communicating with your angels, it's always because of you, not because of them. And I would, again, highly recommend checking out Jerry's site. Again, I want to just make sure to clarify, it's Jerry Gavin. The Jerry, though, is with a G, G-E-R-R-Y, gavin.com. So check out the website there. Now, before we get started with bringing in my co-host to this portion of the show, just want to take a few moments, make some announcements that we normally make during this time. Stay tuned. You know, the second half of our show, which is why sometimes people come to the chat rooms and wait before they've decided to call in, we'll be getting a reading with our gifted psychics, my talented co-host. We'll announce the call-in number a little bit later on the show, and you'll have a chance to call in at that time. Maureen is going to post that in the chat room as well for you, so you'll be ready for that. If you're unable to catch last week's shows or any of our prior shows, we do have recorded archives. It's on our tab. There's a link there. All of the previous shows on Psychic Psychic Access Talk Radio. It's an archive tab. You go to the tab, all of the links from the past shows are there. And then circulate the archive links as well. Future show details, share it with your friends, your family. I know that there's several people in the chat room who have done that. Bert, I'm talking about you. That's right, bringing friends into the show and anybody else who's recommended for people to come in and listen. We really appreciate it. And that's how we continue to do what we do. We rely on word of mouth. Also, if there's anything that you want to know about paranormal, reincarnation, the how-to, psychic development, talking with angels, visit our psychicbloggers.com site, psychicbloggers.com. You can learn everything there. Articles that are written from all of our psychics at Psychic Access. They write all of the different articles, and you're bound to find something that appeals to everybody. They're some of the best verified, accuracy-tested psychics. And again, everybody has their own unique gift as well. So you can not only read their articles and their blogs from there, but you can have a reading from any one of them as well. Each psychic has a detailed profile. You can find out more about them, choose from a list of some of these, again, most psychic gifted psychics around. And then working with Doug and Psychic Access, you know, there's a lot of high expectations required of each psychic. So it really says something when you can come onto the site and you feel comfortable with somebody. There's a reason for that, because there's a lot of process that they have to go through in order to even work on the site and help us work with the types of clients that you, we care about you, and we want you to have the best advice possible. All of the co-hosts on the show, again, which we'll bring in here momentarily, work on Psychic Access Talk Radio as well. They work at Psychic Access. If you want a personal reading from any one of us, you can visit psychicaccess.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Also, ways to make money. If you're a site owner, a webmaster, you can help us and at the same time help yourself. 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. You can put a link to us on your website. If you want to find out more, just go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters and find out more about how, again, you can help us. We help you. One hand washes the other. If you like the show, again, remember, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room, listen to the shows. If you didn't like the show, keep your mouth shut. That's all we're saying. No, we're just kidding. There's something here for everybody. We try to present some really fascinating guests each week. If there's topics that you want to know more about, let us know. We really appreciate it. We'll try to have some of our guests on the show. Now, I'm going to give out the number that you'll call into later. Again, give us about 15 to 20 minutes here, and then I'll give the number, and I'll let you know that it's okay to call. But this is just to kind of get you ready to go. The number is 724-444-4851. Again, just wait for about 15 to 20 minutes before you give us a call, so that because we won't answer. Yeah, we're not going to answer if you call us now. Well, we'll answer and then we'll hang up. No, I don't know what we're going to do. Either way, wait to call, all right? 15, 20 minutes. Wait and give us some time. Meanwhile, I would like to invite my co-host to join me now here, Lady Brenda, Maureen, and Steve, to talk a little bit about our guest and the topics and angels and things like that. And Lady Brenda, I kind of wanted to bring you in with this. You're very familiar with the angels. I mean, you've received, I would assume, messages from angels or higher beings, haven't you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of talk of angels, and there's a lot of people that see angels, but I feel it's, for me personally, it's my perception. I don't see what people would call a conventional angel type of figure. I have seen winged figures, but because of my perception of the spirits and kind of my line of my connection, I always see them more like gods or goddesses or demigods, or, you know, very ancient is how I see them.
Yeah. I've not seen the light or things like that. I've felt the energy, and it just, for me, it feels huge, just bigger, more in-depth, and I can tell the difference between an angelic energy compared to just somebody who's crossed over to the other side.
Well, I think it's because they really are, they are beings on another, from another plane. They are. They're on, yeah. they're from a spiritual plane. They're not on an earthly plane. And if you believe in the different planes of existences, which I fully believe in, you know, like
yeah.
you, the spirit world, you know, the physical world, you know, all the different planes of existences. And I have had a few times I've had messages. I've been guided, and I'm not usually a clairaudient. I don't usually hear, you know, the messages. I'm usually more visual. I see things. But in those instances in which these spirit energy beings from, you know, another plane of existence have contacted me, it's been verbally. I mean, and they've helped me. I believe that one actually may have saved my life at one point, you know, so.
Yeah. I have felt, I believe, on the different planes of existence, because as I felt different angelic energies, I've also felt other energies that I believe were of Earth. In other words, beings mm-hmm. on different planes that were more mother or father Earth type. Do you see what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
yeah, that was different for me. And
physical
and I
plane,
explain it.
Yes.
Physical plane, mm-hmm. yeah, but you just know there's a difference, don't you? Because it just is
you
different
absolutely
as
do.
Walking it's into a room. You know there's a difference with ethnicity. You just see the difference because you just know because of
it's like
colors.
An, almost like an alien type of feeling, like yeah, an alien kind of feeling, you know?
Isn't that cool?
It's very cool. Especially when they give you like a really detailed message, like, you know, don't do this, you know, relax, blah, 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 you know, like in my instance, not to get too involved. I was driving in really bad rain and I hit a spot and I was going to roll my car. And this voice said, do not put on the brakes, do not touch the steering wheel. And I didn't. I let go of everything and I did a huge donut across all four lanes and came to a stop. I was lucky.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
That takes a lot to let go of. I'm an ex-cop, and so letting go of the steering wheel and not touching the brake, that would take a lot to do.
Well, you know, it was an instantaneous thing, and it happened almost like slow motion. You know how that is?
Yeah, yeah. So. That's crazy. That's crazy cool is what that is. I love that. So, Steve, come on in, and I know that you've had your experience with angels and things like that. Do you work with a guardian angel yourself, or when you're tuning in or doing a reading from somebody, what is that like for you? Does the information just come through, or do you say, okay, angels, here we go, or let me talk to my angels about that, or does it even work that way for you?
Well, I ask the angels and archangels for protection when I'm working. So I set the intention, excuse me, I set the intention that my energy projects through the astral realm to the spirit realm and the celestial realm. So I'm aiming to connect with higher sources of insight and for those sources of insight to protect me as I'm opening myself up energetically. But I don't sit with a client and, you know, say in my mind, okay, Bill, let's get to work. We've got a client here. What do you think? It's not like that. Although I do have a grandfather in spirit who is a guardian of mine, but he's more somebody that is a spirit guardian of mine. So he watches over me and cares for my well-being, but he's not necessarily somebody that I work with psychically when I'm working with a client. I do have a main guide, Arthur, who I know well because I used to see him when I was a child, and I used to have conversations with him as I have conversations with you or Maureen or Doug now. So it was very external rather than telepathic, whereas now my work is much more telepathic. So the answer is yes and no, really, Bobby. I know that my grandfather's there. I know that the archangels are there. I've seen Jesus Christ manifest physically twice. So I know that they're very real. But I simply trust what I'm seeing in my mind's eye, what I'm sensing as I work with a client. I don't sit there having a vivid conversation with a guide.
Yeah, it just melds, doesn't it? Because, like, I think in the beginning, that's sometimes for some people, it starts that way. Specific conversation. Okay, stop talking to them. Let me tune into my guide. Ask my guide the question. The guide told me answer. Tell you. It just melds. It just, and then, like I say, like you, when you open up, it's more. It's like channeling, isn't it? It just kind of the messages come through, and you know where they're coming through from. I know if the when it switches from here's what your dad is telling me to oh no, this is coming from your guide now, or if it's coming from other than. I think it just kind of, like you said, it just kind of melds, doesn't it?
And also, I think, Bobby, that when we're working, well, I'm sure that when we're working telepathically, when we're working psychically, we're functioning through the inner plane. So we're functioning at a rate much faster than the speed of light. So it's so fast that I don't feel that we consciously need to sit and consider who we're conversing with and what they're wearing and what their hair looks that day. Do you
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so fast. Especially mediumship is lightning speed. So I feel that when we're functioning through the inner plane, it's much faster. It's like your feelings of love or, you know, your feelings of danger. They're just so quick. It's not like something that is functioning on the physical plane, you know, a snail that can move along or me walking through a parking lot. We're talking about completely different vibrations, frequencies, and speeds of functioning.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. That makes a lot of sense. Maureen, how about you? I know that you keep beliefs to a minimum, but have you ever felt angelic presences or what you might refer to as an angel? I mean, besides sitting next to me, you know, at that PopCon. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's not different. Yeah, yeah, baby.
You're my angel. You know, I want to reiterate. I love that word. And I just thought about it. I hope I pronounced it right. It's not that I don't believe in anything. I just that word just gets to me. All I know is what I know, so I'm open to everything. But
right.
So by my own experience, but, you know, to me, what Brenda was saying, and I'm not going to use this word resonate, I just did because I don't like that word either, I resonate, but what Brenda was talking about, I could identify with what how her view and what she was saying. With me, this is the thing, you know, I was raised Catholic, I think Brenda was too, and angels are always part of the whole thing, and I went to Catholic school, so angels this, fallen angels, and everything kind of gets disturbed about it in your mind. And then there's the saints. Okay, they're not angels or what, and I kind of got confused through the years when I was growing up, but it's not like I have had a vision of an angel. I mean, angels have become so, you know, I mean, commonplace in the home, you see angels everywhere, people buying, you know, I have angel wings, I have angel, everybody has angel something, but for me, I know that I have run across, not the angels that somebody would say, you know, I saw a vision of an angel, but certain signs of people, well, I thought, were people, when people form, I feel I have come across them, but in the form of a human. And it wasn't so miraculous that maybe they saved my life from it, but it was some kind word or something that was said or just in the just being still and standing by them or walking past them. I feel somewhat of an energy of that. Do you follow me?
No, I do. And I've, you know, you hear or I've heard in studies that angels were never human, or, you know, that they're these beings stuff. But I have, in my many dealings with people, have come across people who I would swear was an angel who decided to come down and have a human experience just to understand so much more. Do you
right.
see what I mean? And so,
right.
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I see angelic in people, and they weren't. You know, they weren't like Mother Teresa. They were going through their human experience, but there was something about their core and their vibration that just made me think this is one of those angels that decided to come down and be human. And
yeah.
I've met them before. You know, I can't deny it. So until I know what that is, until I cross over and understand what that is, then that's what I'm choosing to call it for now.
You know, it's kind of like what making sure you pay attention to signs, everybody. It's almost like there's signs. I mean, it could be a regular Joe Sylvia.
Right.
Joe Sylvia, that walk past you, and there's something that maybe is happening. It's almost like I'm not talking about unsolicited psychic advice from somebody walking past you either. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about some very profound something that hits you just from an individual. That's my feeling about that. But I wanted to know, I don't know if you asked your guest this, about was he speaking of Margaret as just being Margaret, or was it Saint Margaret the angel, or like in
no,
that
he
way?
Wasn't talking about Saint Margaret. He was talking about having contact with a being other than.
Okay.
And he asked for a name, and that's what she had told him her name was.
You know what's so interesting about that? Because Margaret, the name Margaret, is about, well, the name meaning anyway. Is it like they're beautiful from the inside and out, and she is I'm always on the outside, and she's also radiant, and it's interesting, smiles from the inside out. She lights up a room when she walks in. It's a girl of good character, and she has a heart of an angel. Shows compassion and encourages everyone around her. Interesting,
yeah.
Huh? So
yeah,
she picked
cool.
a good name. Just wanted to add that. There you have it. Thank you, Bobby.
Brenda, what do you think about the whole human angel aspect? Have you heard, or do you know differently too about angels coming down here to be human, or they just never have? Or I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, there's a lot of movies that have been made about that, but I really do feel that they're separate entities. Then they're not human. I mean, they're beings of light. You know, they stay in the background for a reason. I do believe that they intervene at times. You know. They would intervene in extreme situations.
No, I believe that too. I mean, I know that angels aren't human, but I don't know how else to explain what I've come across in some of the human beings of angels. Like, it's like not angels on special assignment that was given to them, but it's like, you know, I'm just going to go do this. This is a specialized school, and I know that we're not supposed to go down and be human, but I'm going to sneak into this school anyway, because I want to so understand the human experience or something. You know what I mean? So I don't think that we might become angels. I don't believe in that. I don't think that doesn't sound right to me.
No. Plus, even I think angels are not supposed to have be male or female.
No. Yeah. They're. You know, it's funny because I think I've felt more female type energy, and I felt male energy. But when it comes down to it, I'm not so sure that they didn't just present themselves in that way for me to understand or for me to open up in a certain way. But I think you're right. I think it's androgynous, isn't it? It's more.
It is, right, and it is. And when you see the pictures of hundreds of years ago, it was Renaissance paintings and stuff. You know, angels were a lot, you know, people have seen them for thousands of years, but they always seem to have that quality of an androgynous quality to them.
Yeah, just such a beautiful face.
I really do.
Yeah, I would love to have that experience, like what Steve was talking about. We'll bring Steve back in now. I would love to have that manifest Jesus Christ or an angel so physical, because I'm such a physical person, and I've not ever seen anything physical like that. So I either want to know what brownies you ate. Or what? You know, what were you
drinking? English, the English.
Is it because you're English? Is it just the British way? You know.
Well, have you heard of in Ireland about the grottos, the moving grottos, the statues of the Virgin Mary? That there's one in Cork, in the southeast of Ireland, and she literally moves and.
And so many people
said that they've seen her moving and that they've seen her crying.
Mm.
Have you read about that?
Not. No.
That's very interesting. But I wanted to pick up, Bobby, on this really fascinating discussion about angels and androgyny, because my understanding from my guides is that, in effect, we each contain a spark of divinity. So we each separated from the Godhead, and therefore a spark of the Godhead is present within each of us. And in actual fact, it's the ego. So we often speak pejoratively about the ego. So we say, oh, that's his ego, or oh, you know, I made a mistake, you know, I was egotistical, or I should have suppressed my ego. It's actually the ego that represents that spark of divinity, because it's the ego that drives us towards growth. So we learn and learn and learn through the presence of the ego and the constant expansion of our consciousness and our godliness. But when we descend from the Godhead, when that spark of divinity descends from the Godhead and it descends towards duality, it splits. And that's where the concept of soulmates comes from, because the true soulmate is actually the other part of the other part of you that separated as you descended from the Godhead. And the reason angels are androgynous is because androgyny is a perfect balance between the masculine energy, the feminine energy. It's the perfect balance between yin and yang. It's wholeness, it's completion. So as we evolve, we embrace more the different qualities that are available, the different archetypes of the zodiac, or archetypes of any archetypes that you want to choose. We become greater, we become more whole, we use all of our parts, and ultimately when we've evolved sufficiently, then we lose that need to experience separation and not being whole. So when we've evolved sufficiently, we become androgynous and we merge into the angelic realm. And so angels and archangels, whilst we give them personalities and we say, oh, you know, this one's a guy, that one's a girl, they're androgynous because they've evolved to such an extent that they are whole, they're complete. They're not complete enough to just return completely to the Godhead. They're playing a role for the Godhead, a role far superior to ours, but they are whole and therefore androgynous.
Interesting. I like that viewpoint.
That's why, you know, I watched in the UK some documentaries about hermaphrodites, and you know, stories about children that are born and the parents have to make a choice about the sexual assignment of the child, and you know, there are some very, very sad cases of, you know, people that were identified incorrectly or the wrong decision was made. But I find the whole concept of this whole concept interesting, in the sense that, you know, ultimately we're androgynous. Ultimately, there's no need to say I am this or I am that.
Just I am.
Yes, I am. I am.
Yeah, see?
Perfect, perfect.
I
perfect.
See where you're going with that. I was getting ready to talk more about all this, because I love talking. It's such a great subject to talk about, isn't it? And I think it's something we could talk about all night. But I do want to say that now, however, is the time to call in. If you have a question for us, we'll do a rotation type, and now's the time. Give us a call at 724-444-4851. We'd love to talk with you. Anything that you want to talk about, the only thing I would ask you is to be really specific with your question. There's two reasons for that. One, because we don't have a lot of time to talk with you for 10 minutes to tune into your energy and come up with all of it. Don't be general and say, what do you just generally see for me? Because there's so much out there that we could see for you. The more specific you are with us, we can get very specific with you. And because we have so many people that call in, we want to be able just to answer your question, give you the best possible answer, guidance, whatever it is that you might need, and then get you the hell off the phone, basically. So if you can do us a favor, just be very specific. No, we want to help you out in the best way possible, and we can do that if you just get right to the point. We'd love that. So calls are coming in now, and we will start off our reading session. Actually, I would like to also, I wanted to dedicate that last chat session with all of us to Julie, who's in the chat room. It's her favorite part of the show. I forgot to dedicate that to her, but I wanted to say that. And there you go, Julie. We hope you enjoyed that portion of our show. Meanwhile, Brenda, you're up from New York with our first reading of the evening.
Hi, New York. How are you this evening?
Hi, I'm okay. So I have sort of a three-part question, okay. And it's about my dating life. I've been repeating the same pattern all my life, and I went on a date 2 days ago, and the guy was really interested, and I just wanted to run away from him, and I don't know why I keep running away from everyone. I mean, I even run away from people I don't dislike.
Okay. Well, it's definitely a challenge that's before you, and the more it happens, it's going to become more intense, kind of, you know, emphasizing this. What it's telling you is you really need to deal with this fear, and, you know, a lot of times when this happens, we fear actually going into a relationship, and there's a couple reasons for that. We fear that perhaps we can't maintain it, or there'll be rejection around the corner, or what if they get to find out who I really am and they don't really like me, you know, that type of a thing. You know, because one of the things to remember, though, is you definitely want to be in a relationship, and you want to be in a loving relationship. And even if you have to tie a finger around your tie a string around your finger and say, you know what, I will not fear this. I will give it a chance. I'll go into this with an open mind and open heart. Because fear is the great, you know, enemy of love. And it just feels like you're approaching this with a little bit of fear. I mean, looks like there's a man from the past. You really like, you know, this could have worked out with you. There's even somebody around you now. I think you need to just stop the internal stuff that's going on and just kind of say, okay, what is he really saying? Is he going to back up his words with action? You're going to be surprised.
Well, I mean, what kind of fear is it? I can't seem to identify the fear. What is it exactly? Like, in my particular case.
You're fearing rejection. In a relationship, okay. Like it could get going, and then maybe it's not real, that type of thing. But these are the chances that we all take, even if we're in a long-term relationship. You have to overcome it.
Okay. Is there, like, any reason for it? Like, was there something in my past that triggered this?
And it feels like this has to do with your own life experiences and where you are with your life right now.
Okay. Any particular experiences?
Well, you know, I would like to get in depth in that, but we have many more calls. So if you can contact us, myself as well, on online at psychicaccess.com, and I think that would be more appropriate for us to delve into something like that. Okay, honey?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Nicely handled, Brenda. Thank you very much. We're sorry. We do get a lot of phone calls, and we can only kind of take just one question about what's going on, but it was a great question, and if we had more time, we'd definitely get to it. Coming up next, we have I don't know, I've not been told. Oh, so yeah, there it is. I had to scroll back up. I'm sorry, Steve. We've got a caller for you from Colorado.
Thank you, Bobby. Who's calling from Colorado?
My name is Audrey.
Hello, Audrey. How are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Good. How can I help, Audrey?
Well, I've got a trip coming up to Italy, and I'm kind of nervous about the whole thing since this is really my first time totally out of the country. I've been to Mexico, but that's about it. And so I'm just kind of trying to not go into the fear about the whole thing and the money aspect of it. So I need to get a little assurance, I guess, that this will all come together the way it needs to.
I feel it will come together wonderfully. I mean, you know, Audrey, that what you project has a huge impact over the outcome. So right. If we project the thought that money is a problem, then money definitely becomes a problem. So
right.
It's extremely important that you project the right energy. I feel that are you going with another female?
I'm not going with anyone that I know, actually. I'm going to fly to Rome and meet the group, and
okay.
There I am.
Well, yeah, see, I don't feel that you'll be alone, and I feel there's a female that I feel you'll get on extremely well with, and I get the initial B, actually. So I feel that there's another lady that's on the trip that has traveled alone. I feel that she's lost her husband in the last 7-8 months, actually, and she's being adventurous and doing something for herself to move on with her life. And I feel that you'll be very good friends, and I feel that you'll be with a good group of people, and I don't feel that you'll have any issues at all. I feel that you should get really excited about it and just go for it. You've wanted to go for a long time. Why have you not been before?
I'm just taking trips whenever, and this was just brought to my attention, and so I've just kind of gone with it and made the plans and paid for everything, and now it's just the day-to-day money that I'm just in a holding pattern waiting for it to show up, and I'm working on the not going into the fear of it. It's just
Well, you're making the investment to go, Audrey, so make the choice and the investment to enjoy every moment of it. It's a trip of a lifetime. Italy's beautiful, and I feel that you'll be with wonderful people. You'll have great experience, and just project good thoughts. It's going to be great.
I'm working on that aspect.
I do feel that the sum of $3,000 comes to you actually in October. It's around the 27th or the 28th of October. There's some money due to you that you're not aware of that comes to you by check, and it's at the end of October. That will come to you, and that will more than cover your spending money while you're there. So don't worry, just embrace it and go for it.
I'm going for it. I saw the trip itself was already paid for, and the tickets are all bought and everything. And so I'm excited about it. It's just a little out of my comfort zone, and quite a few things out of my comfort zone have happened recently. So it's just all shaking up my world a little bit.
Well, that's good. It's good. It's growth. Go for it. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Totally.
And I wish you a wonderful trip, Audrey.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Take care. Enjoy.
Okay, bye.
And if for whatever reason, Audrey, if that money doesn't come to you in October, Steve will mail you a check. He likes to make sure that his visions come true, and he'll do whatever it takes to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling in, sweets.
The problem is the trip is the first 17 days of the month of October, so... Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, and thanks for being in the chat room with us tonight.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. You bet. Take care. And Steve actually is available on Psychic Access as well. So for you, Audrey, or anybody else who is listening to the chat, if you want to get some more information, Steve will be there more than likely after the show. And if he's not after the show, check out his schedule, and he'll be on within the next couple of days as well. So, all right, let's move on. Maureen, I believe you're up next. You have a caller from Oregon.
Oregon, yes.
Oregon.
No, I don't know. Hi, Oregon. I don't know. I didn't mean to pronounce it wrong. Hello.
Peter from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, hi, Peter.
From Portland, Oregon.
Peter. And welcome, Peter. Thank you for coming to the show. It was nice that you are joining us this evening. I'm ready for you.
Thank you.
Can I help you with?
Yes, I've been trying to move on with this new girl I've taken an interest in, but my ex-wife all of a sudden just started appearing, sending me messages again, and I just can't get her out of my head now. I don't know why this is happening. I know that she has moved on, but
right.
I just now all of a sudden now I've lost interest in this new girl.
Oh, I see. So you can't. It's what that song goes. You got to watch this. Well, it used to be girl right out of your hair is your ex. I see. So this is interesting because you finally are moving on is what you're saying. And now your ex is coming back or thriving back into your life, and now you're confused. Well,
why is she doing confused. This?
Well, you know, this is the thing. This is what I'm getting, Peter. First of all, it would be a useless sacrifice to go in this direction with your ex. And I'm not saying that she's a bad, terrible woman or anything like that. But this is what I feel. What I mean by useless sacrifice, I've talked about this a lot, but the way I metaphorically mean this is when Jesus was, you know, nailed to the cross, there was resurrection. That is useful sacrifice, the pain of it all, but you get to resurrect. What I'm seeing here with the situation between you, and if you try to go in the direction with back with your ex, which I can understand the temptation to do so, it would be useless. You would be nailed, but there would be no resurrection with this. And I also feel that it would be, I see your personal power would be kind of handed over. And I'm not saying that you consciously will go, here, take it over and let do as you would. I just think you made a good choice to move on. And I think that that took some work on your part. You needed to, sorry for the motorcycle. I live at the beach. Anyway, Peter, I think that you did some work and it was probably very difficult. Did she, okay, this is the thing. I feel did she want the divorce, your ex?
Yes.
Okay. So with that said, that's difficult. So you moved on, and now I'm not going to address why is she doing this or why whatever, but I do feel if you went in that direction, you would not, I don't see you being very happy. So regardless of why she is or what she is, you know what? It all comes back into the ego thing. The ego of people, because maybe she knows now that you've actually moved on. And then you know how some people go, "Well, I want him back." You know, this happens a lot, and I just feel, regardless like of what her intentions or hidden agenda or whatever, I feel that you've really done some work to get to your get to the place where you've met someone new, like you said, whether she's going to be the long-term love of your life or lifelong partner, I don't know. But you are really have taken control of your direction of where you want to go, and I would really not like to see you lose that. So what my feelings are, I know, again, your ego wants to know, why does she want me? Well, you know what? Maybe your wife still loves you very much. Also, it may be that you're moving on, and she wants to interact in that and kind of maybe put a stop on it without being very conscious of it. It might be unconsciously, but still it is. You're searching for a deeper meaning, Peter, and I do feel that you need to keep going on that journey. And your ex-wife, the situation, how it worked out and how you've worked on it is not something you should step back into again. Okay. I just feel maybe the whole thing I'm picking up about you not being very happy, I feel you're going to lose part of your feeling like your personal power. It has to do with maybe she would just, be interested in you and then gone she is again. And there, where would that lead you? Again, back to the beginning to work things through, right?
So what about this girl I'm interested in? Is she worth my time or should I just...
Yeah. Absolutely. The fact is anybody's else... I do see a woman. She looks like she's a very smart... She appears classy, successful, not snobby or anything like that, but she also looks like a woman that can, she looks successful in her own right. The thing of it is, I think there's somebody else even after. There's somebody, a good friend that's been hovering over you that you can't see yet to see quite clearly, but there's somebody else maybe that's been a very good friend that I think will turn it within the next 4 months, turn around. Maybe even more so, enlighten you into more of a potential relationship. But this is, you have some good, there's some good, this woman that I see you around right now looks very positive at this time, yes.
Okay.
Peter, go, you know this. I think I'm just affirming it. Do what you're doing. You've gotten this far. Your wife,
I know.
You know, your wife left, you wanted it ended, and that's what it is. And then you've worked it through. Don't go back. Don't backtrack off yourself. You've done, it's been hard for you, and you've done well. Considering you've done some work, I call it. Okay.
I appreciate this. Thank
you
very
much. I
hope I helped
you, Peter, and thank you for joining us. I hope you come back next week.
Well, I'm coming back. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I like that analogy, the unnecessary sacrifice, you know,
useless.
Pain, but nothing good comes from that. I love that. That's a great analogy. Good for you. Oh, it's me from Pennsylvania. I'm just ready to dish it out, I guess. So, hi, from Pennsylvania, are you there?
Yes, it's Joe.
Hi, Joe. Stop it. Who is this really? Don't tease me. I'll know if you're lying. Who is this?
I'm that thorn in your side.
I didn't say thorn in my side. You totally said that. What's going on? How are you?
Well, I'm about the same, which isn't that great, but I'm always complaining about, you know, what people are doing to me and everything, and your guest got me thinking, you know, maybe it's me that's doing things wrong, and I was wondering if you could get an impression on what I've been doing wrong lately, because apparently I have.
Well, this is my passion. This is what I love to talk about. And believe it or not, your question comes from a deeper understanding of the whole. It all begins with, what if I'm the one responsible and not everybody else around me? I think that's absolutely brilliant, Joe. So that alone, to even be able to ask that type of a question, talks volumes on the spiritual development that you already have. So
well,
it may not be so lost to you as you think. What's that?
That's how educational your show is. It put the idea in my mind.
Right. See, there you go. It's very influential. But you would not have even spoke to you if you weren't on that same level. You would not have even heard it. So the thing is that I wouldn't necessarily look at what it is that you've been doing wrong. And it's not just lately. It's this vibration that you carry around with you. It's almost Charlie Brown-ish. It is this inviting people, this vibration that comes around from you, that these people feel like they need to control you. They need to exert how smart they are, or intelligent, or how grand they are, because you don't express yours so much. Do you see what I mean? Especially in a group full of people. If everybody's just going to talk and talk and talk, I'll just sit over here in the corner. I don't have to, you know, I don't need to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it. And so people get drawn into your life like that, that just kind of want to overshadow you in a way. And again, when they make themselves feel better, when they can control you or lead you in certain directions. So it's not really anything that you're doing wrong. I just don't believe that you're solid in a confident type of a way, of a confident vibration. In other words, when you just start taking control, and like you said, you know, this is just the way that I am. I don't think you have fully accepted who you are as well, and therefore you don't let it shine. So it's kind of dim, if you understand what I'm saying. And so when you just climb aboard the vibration and just absolutely be okay and comfortable with what you are, what happens, and what is going on, that has a vibration all on its own, that has a light all on its own, and these other people who aren't supportive of you will drift away. And you won't run into the problems that you've run into with people before. You'll attract to you simply those people who are going to be more positive, more loving, more supportive, more beneficial in the way that they deal with you. Do you see what I mean? Is this making sense to you?
Well, yes. In fact, I've already seen that going on. I've recently, it's been a couple years now, but I sort of holed up here in a retirement home. So I'm surrounded by, you know, pretty fixed personalities. You know, they know it all, and like you said, they want to overshadow you. But I don't feel that, you know, that's my problem. I have problems with my family too. They it seems like they love me, but they just tolerate me. They don't, you know, they don't come to visit me because I'm a beloved figure. I'm just somebody that they're afraid of, or, you know. So
no, I understand. And the thing that's happening, though, with that, you're taking on that vibration. In other words, you're thinking that the reason they don't come to see you, and they the fact that they don't, like you said, like you're some beloved person of the family and stuff, you're taking that personal. You're believing that has something to do with you, and not to do with how they are and how they view other people. Maybe they don't have the type of compassion to completely understand somebody like you. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's certain people who can't see other people for who and what they really are, especially family members. Family members will never see you who you are a lot of times. I'm being, you know, over dramatic here, but a lot of times family members
will. I'm great, but
hang on a second,
problem.
Joe.
Nobody
hang
likes
on.
Me.
Joe. Jojo, hang on a second. Family will sometimes only see you as they remember you, not who you are. And one of the biggest things that you need to realize is that it's not because of you and who you are that they won't come see you. There's a big difference there. The reason they won't come see you is for reasons all their own. They may say it's because of you, or they don't love you as much, or whatever, stuff like that, but it's got nothing to do with you. That's
so are you saying that I'm not doing anything wrong?
Maybe I am.
Or that I've done it
in the past. That's the first thing that we always do is we take everything personal and immediately we go to, what am I doing wrong? What if you weren't doing anything wrong? What if people have their own experiences, a lifetime of experiences and situations that have hurt them, made them happy, whatever, and they develop opinions and such and perceptions on the world? And a lot of times it has nothing to do with you. So that, again, is a brilliant question. What if you're not doing anything wrong and they are the way that they are and it has nothing to do with you and why they won't come and see you?
Okay.
You see what I mean?
So no matter how good I am or how careful I am, I'm still going to end up with the same sticky end of the wicket.
Not necessarily. See, you were on a roll, and then you went teetered completely off the other side. It'd be more correct to say no matter how good you are or how bad you are, or you could do cartwheels, you could stand on your head, it won't matter to any of the people that are around you right now because they will never be happy with you. So a lot of people, haven't you ever done that? Like, you've tried to not upset somebody, you've tried to do the right things and take all the careful steps, but they still just get upset anyway. You know, you just can't do anything sometimes to please people. That's what's more correct. Not the fact that you'll always end up with a sticky wicket. The fact is that you vibrate the way that you do, they'll do whatever they're going to do, but you still get to be happy. It's not reliant upon how they see you, how they view you. Anybody, family or anybody, you just get to shine like it is that you do. And then you start to know something magical, especially since you're in a group where there are fixed personalities and people are around you. You may notice that you will start to draw out the best in them and you become more compassionate because you understand everybody more. It's no longer putting up with people, it's understanding them more. Do you see what I mean? So it's a changing of perception, and I don't anticipate to do it because we're kind of out of time, you and me anyway, because we have to get on to other callers, but I don't plan on changing your entire perception of this, but you have no idea what a great step this is for you to take to start asking, what is it that I'm doing to create my own reality, and what if I'm not doing anything wrong? That's huge, and I think you should ponder that even more so.
Okay.
Don't make me come over there, Joe, now. I'll do
it.
All right. Joe, thanks for calling
in,
man.
Here.
I appreciate it. It was great to hear from you.
I only fight with little people.
Okay, noted.
I don't like the odds when big people are after me.
All right, buddy. All right. Listen, thank you so much for calling in, okay? We'll be thinking of you, bud.
Thanks for the encouragement anyway.
You're welcome, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, bye-bye. All right, our next, I'm scrolling up.
It's me from
Brenda.
California.
It is you from California. Do we have California on the phone?
Hi, California.
Yes. Hi.
How can I help you this evening?
Well, I just met a man, and he kind of came into my life and ran right out again, but I think that there's
don't
a real connection here, and I'm just curious.
Just means, you know what, there's another one around the corner. What's your question?
Well, I want to know if Wayne is... I ran the astrology. It was pretty unbelievable, and I want to know how long is it going to be till we're together, I guess. Or is there another one around the corner? Maybe the astrology tricked me, but it was really good astrology.
Well, you know, that could be as far as like, you know, his signs matching up to yours and all these different aspects and stuff. But there are a lot of other factors in that too, having to do with fate, energy, opportunity. Let's take a peek here. Well, the first thing I got, I'm getting, is that the reason why he came in and out is because he had unfinished business with something from the past. Have you been talking to him since then?
I've been trying. He's been ignoring me, and now I'm pissed. So I've just shut it down, and I scared him. I spooked him, but then he kind of spooked me back, and so I've been feeling like a jerk for 5 days, trying to apologize, crying, and, you know, just
feeling
awful.
Oh, you gotta stop, honey. You gotta stop. Snap out of it.
No, I have. Today, well, like yesterday, I just told him, that's it. I'm deleting your number. I'm not talking to you anymore, you know, and he sort of replied to me, but he didn't apologize to me for what he did, which I thought was unconscionable. So that's I'm really feeling wounded. I have a Leo moon, and my pride is hurt right now.
And this is what happens with the Leo moon. This is for sure. And that's what. And if you think about it, it's your pride. It's your pride. Mm-hmm. It's fortunately, it's not anything else. I have to tell you, this isn't the last you've heard from him, but I also have to be perfectly honest with you and tell you that this man is 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Puts a toe in, takes it out. Puts another toe in, takes it out. He's not ready. I wouldn't say that he's playing. I just feel that he's got some other things going on that he probably is not telling you about, or he's just not ready to give up or things like that. There's a lot going on with him, and I feel that he's got a lot of fear too, and you need somebody that's got courage of the heart. I know you really like this guy, and you're really like into him, and it was wonderful when you connected, but you know what? You can't live on moments. It's got to be the real deal. And really often, I think women get, I think we generally, because we believe in romance, we get so confused when this kind of situation happens. But really, if you take a look at this, what you see is what you get. This is a guy who's wiggly wobbly, and you need somebody more steady. And I feel that the universe is doing this for a purpose. They're not putting you in his path. Not be putting his path in any way as far as like a stable relationship, because it's not the right timing. It's also because I believe you're being prepared for somebody else. I see someone else coming in right immediate future, within 30 days. So there will be a challenge to this Mr. Wiggly Wobbly with somebody who's completely sincere. Your challenge, however, is going to be able to get over your fantasy about him. See what I mean? Because you've created a fantasy about him through, you know, researching his astrology and all these, you know, he came on real strong, but boy, he really pooped out. Do you know what I mean? So I believe you're being prepared for something greater. I'm just telling you. That's what I see.
And you don't think it's greater with him than...
I just feel that actions speak louder than words, and his actions have not been sterling, let's put it that way. It's not what you, no. They don't match up with what, you know, even with his astrological chart. And actually, you know, it has nothing to do with you. This is all coming from him. This is not about you. This is all coming from him. And one of the things that I'm getting from him right now is that he is the type of guy that is used to getting attention from women. And I mean, is he good looking, this guy?
Fairly, but his vibration was really low, and he's beginning to look his age. But he drives a Porsche, a really nice Porsche, and he owns houses and three cars. And I'm not impressed with any of that because I'm a light worker, you know? So, to me, he's a Republican, for God's sake.
Listen to yourself. This guy's a player. I feel he's got, you know, he gets off on being able to come in and wow and then go away. I just don't see it. I don't trust it. It just doesn't feel like the kind of thing where, you know, he's going to be a soulmate. Plus, the biggest part of this whole thing is that, and you said it yourself, you are a light worker. The biggest part of this whole thing is I do not believe that he's on your spiritual level at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big for you. That's huge for you. I mean, you can't get you can't put a square peg in a round hole, you know? Yeah. This doesn't work.
Yeah.
You need a true soulmate who, you know, is right there with you spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I see. It just looks it's one of those things where, you know, you need to know. And that's why I feel that there's another man coming in. I see him as born in the month of April. It feels like he has something to do with, he works with people, but I feel he's like a counselor type of person. He might even be a teacher or a professor or something of that nature. But I do see that he's a compassionate man. And financially, he looks okay, but I'm not seeing the Porsche, you know.
I don't know. That astrology really confuses me because we were aspected in about 20 different points. So.
Well, you know, that exists out there in the universe doesn't always mean that they're supposed to be on our path in this lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, because
that was quite a bit of chemistry, but I'm mad at him right now, so I'm certainly not impressed.
Yeah, but you're mad at him right now. You're not even really seeing this guy yet. He's really not even, you're not even exclusive with this guy yet. If you're mad at him now, can you imagine being in a relationship with him?
No, I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, like, we haven't even gotten started, and he's already got me upset, and he doesn't even seem to care. Like, he is so disrespectful to my sacred divine feminine, and I certainly don't want to tolerate that. And I just was going to tell the universe, fine, I want a different one. If this is the one you picked for me, sorry, I'm rejecting him.
Just know it's not the one that was picked for you. It's the one before the one. It's the shell game. It's the cosmic love shell game.
If that's the best example the masculine subspecies can produce, then sorry.
So there you go, my dear.
Right. Sorry to interrupt, but if you could see all the people in the chat room right now, they're also going, no, get away, don't do it. So you not only have Brenda and all of us backing that up, you have all the people in the chat room listening that also backs up to get away, just so you know.
I know.
All right.
So forget the tool and the Porsche, okay?
Yeah, I don't care about the Porsche. I felt the chemistry. I've had a crush on him for 20 years. Then I looked at the astrology, and being with him was just so easy and magical. But he revealed himself.
Then you find out who he really was. Oh, well.
Yeah. All right.
Bigger and better things, honey. Okay?
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And there it is. All right. That brings us to the end of another show for this week. Who's got next week's show? Maureen, is
me,
that you?
If you don't mind, yes, I do.
I do. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Goodbye. No, I'm okay, Maureen. Yes. Now, what are you guys doing next week?
What are you guys? Aren't you going to be there with us? Okay.
You know, I may. It depends. Well, tell me about the show. Let's hear it first.
It's karma and reincarnation, the two together. And my guests are, we all like that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, interesting.
Because I am that stuff. Anyway, Barbara Martin and Dimitri Moralities. I think I might have said that wrong. But they're both authors and metaphysical teachers. They have a center that... Well, it's really good. They've had a couple books out, but one has been on karma and reincarnation. So we're gonna merge the two together and discuss that.
We don't have two guests on the same show, do we, Maureen?
No, we don't. And these two people are co-founders of an organization here in California, as a matter of fact. But I think it'll be a very good show, and I've been waiting for them for months and months. So yes, please, everybody, come. I think it'll be very enlightening and fun.
All right. Very nice. Okay. Thank you so much. And for my other co-host, Steve.
Yes, thank you, Bobby. Great show. Really enjoyed it. And look forward to next week's show.
And Lady Brenda.
Same. It was a fabulous show. I really liked it. I liked that. I wanted to hear more about Margaret, but I know that we ran out of time. So
always do. Thank you so much, everyone, for stopping into the chat room and listening to this week's show. Have a great night. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda,
If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.